Good evening, everyone. It's 6 o'clock. Welcome to Finance Committee of the Whole, meeting number 2. We have Andrew interpreting, and Lisa will join shortly. She's on her way. We'll start with a motion to adopt the agendas which are in front of you. Seek a motion to approve the agenda. Mayor Awa moves. Councillor Kunuk seconds. Any comments or questions to the agenda? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Yay. Yeah. Unanimous, thank you. Are there any declarations of interest with the agenda this evening? Don't imagine so, given the subjects. All right, seeing none, we'll move right into new business with Senior Executive Director of Corporate and Financial Services, Peter Tumulty, and a request for decision regarding some property tax relief. Go ahead, Peter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So once we changed the property tax relief system, we had a bit of a transition period. And during that period, the Islamic Society was unaware that things had changed. So in 2023, when the change had been made, they did not submit their 2023 application for a 75% reduction in their taxes on their church property. They came to see us in 2024, and at the time, we were working on the new bylaw that we had hoped would be available and passed by council in 2024, but unfortunately, it took until January of 2025. So because of that, they were another year behind. So what they're asking to do now is to retroactively apply for those tax exemptions under the old bylaw that has been repealed. And they are current on their current tax exemption. So the situation right now is that there is sufficient room in the $300,000 cap in both of those previous years to accommodate this request. And at 75% of their taxed assessed base, it's about $17,000 in relief for each of those 2 years. That's the basis of the request. However, it does raise a couple of related issues with respect to the current process. The first one is that there will be another applicant that will be looking for a similar approach where they also did not put in applications for 23 and 24. So there, council will have to review an additional retroactive adjustment. And the second thing is that in the current year, because we changed the bylaw, we maintained the $300,000 cap on this program. What has happened is that, as you recall from last year, assessments went up, the rates did go down, but the change that affected this program the most was that the 75% changed to 100%. So the $300,000, which was sufficient in previous years, is now no longer going to be sufficient. And based on the applications that we've received in the last month, since I gave you the last update, we will be exceeding the $300,000 limit. So I'm raising that with council now that if we want to consider changing it, we would need to amend the bylaw. It just can't be, I don't think it can be done by motion because that limit was buried in the new property tax exemption bylaw. But I'll just raise that concern as well as we consider this whole issue. So that's the basis of the situation. I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair, for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Just, you know, I would support the request being made here tonight, but looking longer term, are we able to create a new property tax class for the religious establishments? Seeing as how they're now institutional, which is effectively the most punitive and highest tax rate. And if we are able to create a new class, can we do that in time to not necessarily need to amend the existing bylaw for the $300,000 cap?
Funny you should mention that. Council has already passed a new bylaw this year to create class 14 for churches specifically. So that was part of, again, a transition plan, because we sort of figured that at some point we would want to move away from this application-based process. So you do now have at your fingertips the ability to move churches, not the residence portion, but the churches, to a new property class, which you are then free to set the mill rate at whatever you'd like to on an annual basis. And it can be anywhere from zero to whatever number you prefer. So that is available. Unfortunately, for the current year, though, because we will probably have a couple of more applications come in, those applications will exceed the current limitation on that. So for this year, unless you want me to start denying applications for relief, we would need to find a way to increase that current cap. Either way, it's sort of like it's up to council to decide. Thank you.
And Councillor Nutduck.
What I'm going to say is good. Oh, is it not getting too expensive, or is there too much money into it now? That's what he said.
Go ahead, Peter.
There you go, Peter.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Councillor Nutduck. Yes, so we had a limit of 300,000, and we've pretty much used it all up. So what I'm asking is if council wants to consider to put more money into the program to support more of these property tax exemptions. And so, yeah, it is becoming more expensive. We are approving more applicants, and we're having more applicants come to us asking for relief. So, yes, we thought it was enough, and now it seems like the uptake is much more robust than what we originally had anticipated. So a little bit more expensive, yes. Thank you.
Councillor Nutduck, follow up.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Like I said, the chairman used to get $5 a month, monthly, honoraria. That's why I'm asking if it's too much money now that we have to consider. It used to be where councillors, myself too, would get $5 a month in councillor honorarium. I just want to make sure we're not spending too much on this. And my honoraria is pretty low now because the cost of everything has risen. Oh, so I'm just saying that I'm not asking for a raise at the moment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think for the specifics of what the churches are facing right now is that they're taxed at the institutional tax rate, so the same as government institutional buildings. So when the property tax assessment was done, the 10-year assessment last year, it drastically increased the value of all the church properties. So which, you know, resulted in their tax bills going up significantly simply because they're being set at that institutional tax rate, which is the highest tax rate. So while it on paper looks like we have to forgive more than 300, realistically, or 300,000, realistically, that number has been overinflated due to the institutional rate and the tax last year. So we're not really foregoing as much actual revenue as it appears in the way it's being presented. Mayor Awa, I have you next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Peter. I just have a question. Now, I heard that the city has been writing to the society, to the churches, and informing them of the change in assessments. But it's written here that this group was not notified of the changes. Did the government get a copy of the new assessments? Thank you.
Peter?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question, Mr. Mayor. So the change, so two things. The change that was done in 2023, I don't know if administration or council communicated that by letters to each of the individual people that may have been covered in the past. I know that when we changed it this time, I made sure that we issued public service announcements, and I wrote letters to everyone who was on the previous list that the process had changed, and I sent out reminders by email as well to encourage them to apply if they hadn't already for this year. I can't speak to what happened two or three years ago when it changed the first time around. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Chair. To me, it sounds like this is a group that has done incredibly good things for our community and is a very important institution here. It sounds like they did, for the most part, their due diligence, and we ourselves advised them to hold off. So this is a group that we've approved every other time. I'm very much in favor here of option one. To help them out. They do a lot with food insecurity in our town, our city. Sorry, Councillor Shepherd. but I'm very much in favor of option one. I do think it would be a good idea for us to explore setting a new mill rate specifically for religious institutions. I think that just makes sense. And if we do need to reevaluate that limit, as you stated, Peter, then that's something I think we can also definitely look at. But I'm very much in favor of option one. So I would move for that.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. With the motion, Councillor Stevenson seconds. I know Councillor Stevenson had his hand up earlier, but put it down. Are there any comments or questions specifically to the motion to proceed with option one as recommended? Seeing none, I would call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much. And Peter, on to our second item, the 2026 operating budget. I'll turn the floor back over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So tonight I'm presenting the 2026 operating budget. I'm happy to say that we are able to present a balanced budget without any major tax or rate increases. So the property tax mill rate is expected to stay the same. We aren't suggesting any increases in water and sewer rates or in any other major rates for the citizens. We are also going to start scheduling transfers from operating surpluses in the various funds to the reserve accounts to further build up our financial resources and capacity. We haven't been able to do that in the past, but as we continue with our budget process, we are able to rebuild some of our financial capacity, which is reflected, as you see, in the annual audits, and we will then be able to start to replenish the reserve accounts, which in previous years had been used to support operating and capital expenses. So I'd like to direct you to the first page, which is the statement of operations. This is also known as the income statement. So that's on page 3. So you can see here, so the column for budget 2026, we're estimating $75.6 million in revenue and $73.2 million in expenses for a projected budget surplus of $2.3 million. You will note that there is a significant decrease in the revenue from last year of about $4.3 million. And the major change due to that is that the that the Inuit Child First Initiative program was not renewed, and I shouldn't say not renewed as so much as we didn't get any more funding for it. So that program is not in the current budget, even though we now understand that that program may actually be coming back next year, next year, I guess. So that program was worth $2.8 million in revenue, but it also had an associated $2.8 million in expenses as well. So it sort of is a wash with respect to that, but it does reduce the revenue and the expenses at the same time. We also reduced our lands revenue by about $1.7 million year over year. We had put estimates in the previous year for expected development charges and fees, which didn't materialize, and so we have since reduced those to more accurately align and reflect what is currently happening with the development of subdivisions under the capital plan. And at the same time, we've reduced our expenses by nearly $3.7 million, and that results in our current budget surplus of about $2.4 million. So that is the statement of operations. If I could turn your attention to the next page on Schedule 1, I'm not going to get into the schedule. I'm just merely going to point out that as part of this schedule, we have included a budgeted transfer of $1 million from the general fund to a general reserve fund to illustrate that we have, and not just that we're going to do it on a cash basis, but they're actually budgeting for these transfers to start happening. And so we're including it in the planning process. And so this just illustrates that there's a notional $1 million being budgeted to be transferred from the general fund to a general reserve account. The next page, page 5, is the general operating fund. This is the fund that contains pretty much all of the operating departments within the city, with the exclusion of those that are related to water and sewer delivery, sanitation, and lands. So things like corporate services, IT, human resources, those are all covered under the general fund. Our own source revenues for this year are up slightly from the previous year in the taxation area, simply because the assessments did go up. Even though we are keeping the rates flat, there was a slight increase in expected revenues, but not more just by happenstance. I shouldn't say happenstance, but just because the assessments did increase and that new construction has been factored in. So about a $300,000 increase in the revenue there. It's not large, but it is a slight adjustment from the previous year. And then you'll notice that the government transfers, the community funding from Schedule 14, went from $5.3 million down to $2.5 million. And again, that's the reduction in the Inuit Child First Initiative funding that we did receive from the federal government. So overall, we did see a bit of a decline in revenues. But we also saw a decline in expenses. So the general operating fund is actually expected to turn a small surplus as opposed to a budgeted deficit from the prior year, just due to those adjustments. I will point out that we did add a new approach to salaries and benefits this year. In the past, we have always fully budgeted every position, regardless of whether they were vacant or not. And what this has done on a budget basis is overstated what our salary and benefit expenses is likely to be. Normally, oh, I shouldn't say normally, but historically, we've been anywhere from 10 to 20% unfilled positions due to a combination of inability to hire or just normal turnover within different departments. So this year, what we decided to do is to implement a across-the-board 5% vacancy factor. So we did a reduction in the overall salary and benefits budget by 5% to reflect a natural level of unfilled positions. It just didn't seem to make sense to sort of tie up that budget funding for positions and for salary levels that we were not likely to hit. We will review and revise that on an ongoing basis year over year to see if that needs to be maintained or if at some point as we get closer to full employment that we'll take that out. But for now, it seemed like a reasonable inclusion in the budgeting process. Moving on to Schedule 3, this is the Water and Sewer Fund. And again, we are projecting static revenues. We're not expecting to increase anything with respect to rates, and we're not expecting any changes in funding from the government of Nunavut. On the Now, you will notice that in this case, salaries and benefits actually went up as opposed to down like you would normally expect. So the math gets interesting, but we basically factored in a 2% increase based on the collective agreement, then reduced by 5%, and then we added several new positions into the Water and Sewer Fund specifically for utilidor maintenance and for water and sewer truck crews. So as we expand our water and sewer truck fleet, and if you recall from the capital budget, we are on an annual basis buying a new water and sewer truck every year, we do have to staff them. So we are showing that that's an expansion of our employment base as well in the Water and Sewer Fund. So that's why you see the expenses go up a little bit more. The transmission and distribution expenses have also gone up a bit. You can see about $1.3 million. About $1 million of that is based on our continuing efforts to inspect and review the pipes with CCTV and other things. So these are ongoing expenses to deal with the ongoing issues with the utilidor system and to maintain the appropriate levels of safety and maintenance and repair that we have to do with those things. Overall, you'll also notice that the allocations from other departments are much higher than in previous years because we are moving every related expense from basically the general fund to the Water and Sewer Fund, so that the Water and Sewer Fund expenses reflect the full economic cost of delivering those services, and then we set the rates appropriately to cover that. Given that, we are looking at about a $2 million surplus in the Water and Sewer Fund. It's a little bit less than what was previously budgeted in 2025, but you will notice that we have also increased the expenses going into the fund by about $5 million, so the rate increases were sufficient to absorb the appropriate expenses from the other areas. And then finally, Schedule 4, penultimately perhaps, the Sanitation Program Fund. So again, the landfill and garbage collection. Again, static revenues, we're not expecting any large increases. And in this case, you can see salaries and benefits did actually decline a little bit, even though we did increase salary rates through the collective bargaining agreement. So overall, expenses are down about $1.3 million. And so while we're still showing a small deficit in the sanitation fund, it is significantly smaller than the budgeted deficit from the previous year. And then finally, we move on to the land fund. As I mentioned before, we had done a reduction in revenues. We did have in the fee section a lot of funds for new development charges for new subdivisions, which, based on the construction and development timelines, weren't able to be realized in 2025. And we expect a more orderly transition in 2026 and 2027. So we've downplayed those revenues by a fair bit to reflect the actual schedule that we believe those developments will occur. So revenues are down by $1.9 million. Expenses are down by about $500,000. So the net change, we see a deficit of $1.5 in the lands department. Though to be fair, as those development fees start to come in, the actuals may be quite different. But before, in 2025, we had a very small surplus, more or less balanced, so the reduction in revenues translates directly to the bottom line. So those are the four major funds. budget document goes on in more detail with all of the sub-departments which make up the general fund. So unless there are specific questions on specific departments, they were covered in the discussion of the general fund as an overview. So that's the presentation that I have for you tonight. I will turn it back to you, Mr. Chair, for any questions from you or the members of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And just, I know you mentioned the Inuit Child First Initiative and the potential for that funding coming back. I just want to make clear for anybody listening that there's no indication at this point in time that it would be the same food voucher type program run by municipalities. Although the federal government has committed, as Peter said, to revamping and revitalizing that program, we don't know what that's going to look like just yet. I don't want there to be any false expectations around that. Thank you for this, Peter. It's exciting to have no new taxes proposed. I do have one question regarding the sanitation fund and the sanitation fees. We'd undergone for several years, incrementally increasing sanitation fees to set ourselves up to prevent a shock when the new solid waste facility does come online. It's going to be more expensive to operate compared to what we do now. We have the reclamation of the existing solid waste facility to talk about. So I'm just wondering what the thinking might be, leaving sanitation rates where they are right now with a budgeted loss in the fund as we work towards implementing the new solid waste facility. And are we setting ourselves up for a rate shock once that new facility does come online?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can start with an answer, and then I can turn it over to either Bill or Steve for comment on longer-term strategy. So while we did go through the exercise with the water and sewer rates, the next on the list was going to be the sanitation rates. And fair enough, we did want to look at that in a little bit more detail, given that we are mixing up the mobile equipment that we've got. They're smaller trucks that seem to be working quite well. And then the transition to the waste transfer station and the landfill, there are several things that are in the mix for this. One of these obviously is coming online soon, but to get a handle on what the actual operating costs are going to be to, you know, properly set up what a full economic cost recovery system might be for the sanitation system. So it's something that we're planning on doing, but we have not started it yet. And again, like I said, there's several other things that are in the mix that will have an impact on how those things are set, which haven't been formalized, finalized. They're kind of there, but they're not fully real yet. So there's, and I'm not sure how, in what level of detail you can go into that, but there are those things happening as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill, you want to add to that?
Yeah.
Let me turn you on 1 second here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. One of the other things that's really important to keep in mind is there's a phase and approach to waste transfer stations. So with the existing landfill, with our projected numbers, we have about 12 to 18 months of space still in it. And based on the cost of landfills, we're going to maximize that. But with that, there will be about a six-month overlap, most likely, between those two facilities. We don't know. That may come as an amendment at some point to this when we have kind of a more firm date. We're just waiting on drone surveys currently of the landfill before we get into winter here to give us a better update on how much space we use this year. Talking to our superintendent of solid waste, we actually got less construction waste this year than we figured, which is one of the bigger components of that takes up a lot of airspace in the landfill. So most likely this will come as a budget amendment once we know firm dates on when we will be operating both, but we're figuring those to more be a 2027 item to address sanitation rates to adjust for the waste transfer station.
All right, thank you. Anybody else have any questions on the proposed operating budget? Seeing none, there's always less discussion when there's no tax increases. That's always nice. Would anybody like to make a motion to recommend council approve the proposed budget? Deputy Mayor moves, Councillor Stevenson seconds. Last chance for comment or question. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much. And if I am not remiss, there's only one other item on the agenda tonight, which is adjournment, and I would seek a motion for that. Mayor Awa moves. Deputy Mayor Smith seconds. Nobody's going to question that. I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, interpreters, and our tech support folks who are joining tonight to make sure this new system's up and running properly. It's very much appreciated. And administration, thank you as well.